The jazz scholar Robert O'Mealy and Reed himself explored for us what happens when Jess Gru bursts into the culture.
I give the name Jess Gru to it because I had read in Introduction to Negro Poetry, an anthology organized by James Weldon Johnson, that people didn't know how the old songs, ragtime songs, arose. And he said they just grew like Topsy.
When did it start? This morning, we got reports from down here that people were doing stupid, sensual things. We're in a state of uncontrollable frenzy. We're wriggling like fish, doing something called the Eagle Rock and the Sassy Bump. We're cutting a mean moochie and lusting after relevance. We decoded this coon mumbo-jumbo. We knew that something was just brewing, just like the 1890s flare-up. We thought that the local infestation area was Place Congo, so we put our antipathetic substances to work on it to try to drive it out. But it started to play hide-and-seek with us, a case occurring in one neighborhood and picking up in another. It began to leapfrog all about us. But can't you put it under one of their microscopes, lock it in? Can't you protective reaction a dad-blamed thing? Look, I got an election coming up. To blazes with your election, man, don't you understand? If this just grew becomes pandemic, it will mean the end of civilization as we know it.
There's a sense in which a mumbo jumbo is a meditation on the beginnings of jazz. There's a wonderful book called Jazz in Print, which gives a catalog of newspaper articles responding to the first appearances of jazz. So many of these writers in the mainstream presses wrote about it as a disease that was infecting our youth and making them jump up and dance and act strangely and act black. This is the great danger.
I think that, when African culture and Western culture collide, sometimes it makes for a beautiful marriage, but at times there's conflict, there's dreadful conflict. And so there's always seems to be resistance to African-American forms.
From time to time, American history will show that we've been very afraid of these different invasions that we've seen coming at us from all these different directions.
There's something about an establishment that has a settler mentality that sees itself surrounded by people with spears and bow and arrows and things, like cultural wagon trains.
And Reed's novel is one that celebrates invasion and wants an America and a world teeming with peoples of many, many backgrounds.
The foolish Wallflower Order hadn't learned a damn thing. They thought that by fumigating the Place Congo in the 1890s, when people were doing the Bambula, the Choctaw, the Babouille, the Kunjail, the Juba, the Congo, and the Voodoo, that this would put an end to it, that it was merely a fad.
It's an almost mythological battle between the forces of goodness and art and creativity and Dionysian revelry versus those who are repressive and essentialist and who would contain and destroy these artistic impulses.
There always seems to be some effort to contain what you might call just grew, contain this energy.
But it is soon discovered that it cannot be contained, that it is a kind of a tide that's part of the DNA of the human being that can't be rubbed out.
The Jess Grew epidemic was unlike physical plagues. Actually, Jess Grew was an anti-plague. Some plagues cause the body to waste away. Jess Grew enlivened the host. Other plagues were accompanied by bad air, malaria. Jess Grew victims said the air was as clear as they had ever seen it, and that there was the aroma of roses and perfumes which had never before enticed their nostrils. Some plagues arise from decomposing animals, but Jess Grew is electric as life and is characterized by ebullience and ecstasy. Terrible plagues were due to the wrath of God, but Jess Grew is the delight of the gods.
Nobody's been able to suppress it. I mean, Hitler tried to suppress it. The Nazis tried to suppress jazz because some of their generals liked it. So what they did was they began an official Nazi jazz band. That's what they do here. They try to co-opt, see. So we have an official jazz band at Lincoln Center. I think jazz is a populist form. It comes out of it doesn't come from the elite. It comes from people like Louis Armstrong, who's an orphan, was in an orphan's home. comes from people like that. It comes from the streets, out of the grassroots.
Ralph Ellison said that democracy is our country's name for love. And there's a way in which this is a novel that challenges us to love one another in all of our differences as a nation of people speaking different languages, from different backgrounds, different religions, as a group of people who are not all the same, but who nonetheless are trying to make it together.
Robert O'Mealy is head of jazz studies and a professor of English at Columbia University. Ishmael Reed's newest book is nonfiction called Blues City, A Walk in Oakland. Jonathan Mitchell produced our piece.